Good Wednesday afternoon. Welcome in to Sports 180. Thank you for being with us today. We are excited to be with you as we now enter the second half of the day. I guess about halfway through the week here, Heather, and more than halfway through Media Days week in Hoover, as it's Alabama Day when Nick Saban is present. All eyes and ears are on the guy that has kind of led the way in the SEC the last few years. You might describe it that way. We'll talk about what has gone on. We'll still react to yesterday with Tennessee being there. Lane Kiffin, who you heard from on the Eric Ains Show just a few minutes ago. As we continue with everything going on today in the sports world, out and about, thanks to Michelob Ultra, we have the golf cart here with us. And it is a beaut, and the reviews have just been terrific over the last few weeks since we started up the giveaway. We're giving you a chance today here on Asheville Highway, 6210 Asheville Highway. Stop in and see us and give yourself a chance to win. It's free to register to win the Michelob Ultra golf cart.
Yes, come by, get registered, and check out all the amazing deals going on today at the Bread Box. And this is at actually 12 different area Bread Box locations. You can get great deals on beer thanks to our pals at Eagle Distributing. How about a $13 rebate via QR code when you purchase fuel and one Michelob Ultra Family 12-pack? You can also get $3 back via the QR code when you buy three Budweiser or Bud Light 25-ounce cans. And with GPM Fast Rewards, you can earn 10 cents off each gallon of gas on your first fill-up up to 20 gallons and earn cash back on every purchase. So as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, or I guess last week when we were at another Bread Box location, if you are also looking for work, if maybe especially after COVID, you're just trying to get back into the work schedule, you can apply at gpminvestments.com if you're looking for a career, great pay, and even benefits.
That's right. Take advantage of everything that is going on right here where we are with the Michelob Ultra golf cart registration. And as Heather mentioned, those 12 area Bread Box locations with the savings inside and the savings from GPM Fast Rewards. And if you're looking ahead to your future, GPMinvestments.com for the career, pay, and benefit opportunities that come with it. We'll be here until 3 o'clock, so we'd love to see you out here on Asheville Highway at this Bread Box location. We'd love to give you a chance to win this Michelob Ultra golf cart, and you can see it for yourself. It's right here with us. So stop by, say hello, and sign up to win. We have a lot to cover today. We'll talk to Braden Gall from 440 Sports at 12:30. We will hear from Tennessee cornerback Alante Taylor today, as he was there yesterday representing Tennessee at SEC Football Media Days. Our very own Eric Kane talked to him. You'll hear that conversation on the show. We'll also talk to Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports coming up at 2:30. So we're loaded up between now and 3 o'clock, and also invite you to join us today at 656-9900. As Joel Silverberg's here, Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Why don't we begin today's show taking a look around the sports world. So, Heather, Nick Saban and Alabama are there today, and we do know Alabama is on the list that have hit the threshold, as they're at about 90%, according to Nick Saban. But we know of Georgia, LSU, and Alabama. I don't think that we've seen that Vanderbilt is there, but I think the anticipation is that Vanderbilt's probably at the threshold, considering the university is requiring all students to be vaccinated. So the team, by the time they get to the season, will be at 100%. My guess is that they're at the 80% already. But three of the six already determined. Tennessee getting closer, we learned yesterday, according to Josh Heupel. But that's been part of the conversation, a big part, especially with what Greg Sankey has had to say in the last couple of weeks and it being a focus of his on Monday.
Well, absolutely. And when he came out and said there's no room in the college football schedule to be making up postponed games, it will actually count as a forfeit. And you have to imagine that if you are having to go through all the testing protocols as an unvaxxed person, that it can just really create a lot of headaches, not only for yourself, but for the coaches. You're trying to be in meeting rooms. You're trying to do things, you know, as efficiently as possible. And there could definitely be some hurdles. So that's why they're just trying to get to that 80% number and then go from there. But no ability to make up games this year. And if you are in jeopardy of contracting COVID and you're unvaccinated, so you're susceptible to more testing, then you could end up derailing your team. And so I'm imagining that coaches are having a lot of honest conversations with not only players, but their families as well.
Right. And Alabama already with an advantage with the personnel, and it appears an advantage with the percentage of vaccinated players.
I did see somebody point out, oh, so I guess Alabama wins the vaccination championship too. It's like, oh gosh.
Hang the banner. They may still have room there. We'll talk more about what was said yesterday with Tennessee, and you'll hear from Alonte Taylor, as I mentioned on today's show. How about the Bucks last night? How about Giannis? An incredible performance. They needed him to step up in a big way, especially at the free throw line, and boy, did he. 50 points for Giannis in the win over the Suns last night to capture the title, and at the free throw line, Heather, 17 of 19. If the Suns fans back at home were counting to 10 then, they also counted a lot of made free throws.
They did count a lot of made free throws, but, I mean, his stat line was just absolutely unbelievable. And on the night where everybody just kind of played average, you had Holiday, who offensively, I think he was like 1 of 11 at one point in time. He ended up with a better stat line than that, but he was really struggling early on. But defensively, he was really good. So everybody was just kind of having an average night. Milwaukee got out to a big lead in the first quarter. Phoenix chipped away at that, had the lead at half, and then it was the Giannis show in the second half, and it was unbelievable. I mean, have we seen a guy ascend to the best in the league right now? I still have questions because of injuries to other people, but right now nobody can rain on Giannis's parade today.
He's got a ring coming his way, and that plus his MVP titles he's already won, or MVP awards that he's already won, I bet he will win another one before his career is done. He's 26. He's a great story. He's a great player, and good for Milwaukee. The Milwaukee fan base has waited a long time to see that second title come, and they were able to see it in person last night.
Yeah, they showed up huge. 65,000 in Deer Park was the estimate that I read online. I mean, that is insane when coupled with, you know, who was actually in the arena getting to watch eyes on. But what an incredible atmosphere. David Bakhtiari, he was really sad that he couldn't be there as he's like now shifted focus. I heard him on Rosillo's pod earlier this week, and he was like, man, I got to take care of my body because when I went the last time and chugged all those beers, it took a couple days to recover. So I'm sure he is sending them many congratulations from his isolation right now.
Kirk Goldsberry noting that points in the paint in the 2021 finals, Giannis had 134. The next highest number was Devin Booker with 60. DeAndre Ayton had a really good start to the series, did not have a very good finish to the series. I think that was part of it, but Giannis was too much. Congrats to him winning the finals, winning the finals MVP, deservedly so. Maybe he's not Robin, after all, there for the Bucks. What a silly thought. Silly for me to think that the U.S. Women's National Team would just come out and cruise to begin Olympic play. A 3-0 loss last night to snap a 44 unbeaten match streak, with Sweden getting the win, 3-0 last night.
Yeah, that was a kind of a beatdown for the U.S. Women's National Team. I saw a headline where they said they looked lost, confused, as Sweden ended their unbeaten streak.
But I guess 3-0 this morning. Excuse me, I said last night, but I guess this morning or tomorrow sometime, yes.
Yeah. So whatever time zone they are currently on at the Olympics right now. But, they hadn't lost in 44 games, and so you can maybe get a little complacent. Maybe this is just a nice little wake-up call for the women's national team, who want to definitely win gold. But then not only that, I think they also want to make more friends in the process, right? Do they care about their popularity? Do they want to be more popular? Maybe they don't. I don't know. But they definitely want gold.
Well, I'm guessing that's not a real concern, is popularity. I think they're just trying to win a gold medal.
Okay.
Well, they're still very popular. Oh, sorry, I need to put some pins out here, don't I? Come sign up for the Michelob Ultra golf cart, but do
Bring
it without any pins.
No,
that's right. There you go. There
in
you go.
Blood.
My
How
apologies.
Bad do you want it?
All right, man. We're talking about the Olympics or something else. But so you have that, and they're underway. We'll continue to monitor as the week goes along. And SCC Media Day is getting a lot of attention, but I think the comments, it was like a share yesterday, the Nick Saban comments on Bryce Young having NIL deals close to $1 million, which are already being there's a lot of skepticism out there about the validity of that.
Okay.
And then
kind of like Master P.
Yeah, and then Dabo Swinney being against the 12-team playoff.
Yeah, I think those were kind of the two big quotes that were taken. I have some more thoughts on Nick Saban, kind of putting Bryce Young on Front Street. I think it's a very unfair position for now him to be in, because you know his phone blew up yesterday. And when people know that you have money, leeches tend to come out and gravitate towards you. I thought it was really wrong of him to do that.
I agree. You and I talked about that, I think, more off-air yesterday, but I kind of thought that was bonkers. It's obviously a recruiting pitch. I think everybody recognizes that's a recruiting thing, so Nick Saban is telling other prospects, hey, look at what a guy who's never even played for us really is already getting. And Darren Heitner, who's been involved with NCAA stuff, an attorney, and agent said he just doesn't think that's true. And if I'm Bryce Young and my coach is saying I'm receiving money that I'm not, I better be getting that money. But, yeah, I just think that's weird. Where else does that happen? It'd be bizarre if Nick Saban talked about what his coaches make, and that's public information. It'd be weird if our bosses were talking about what we make publicly. And I know that Bryce Young's a public figure, and we see reports often of what somebody might be able to get. We've seen that with a few NIL deals. But for the coach to talk about what his player is making, I think largely is just inappropriate, but really strange.
Yeah, it was very strange, and I thought, and I don't know the circumstances surrounding Bryce Young, but you hear about when people get money, all these people, like lottery winners, they come out of the woodwork, and people are just there like, hey, can you help me out? Can you do this? And I thought, man, if he's, especially because we hadn't heard anything about Bryce Young. Like, if Nick Saban is breaking this news, how many people were paying attention and then reaching out to him, like, immediately? I felt very uneasy about the information that I don't care about him having the money. You do you, Bryce Young. Make as much as you can. I just didn't think that that needed to necessarily be public unless he was making it public.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, man, Bryce Young, he hasn't really taken off as the starting quarterback yet, and he's already making Heather Harrington money. We are off and running here on Sports 180. We're having a great time and look forward to seeing you here today where we are, the Bread Box on Asheville Highway, 6210 Asheville Highway, just a mile or two up from the interstate. Stop by and register to win the Michelob Ultra golf cart, which you can see for yourself right here. Stop by, and it just takes a moment to sign up, especially now that we've offered up some pins for you to be able to do so. Stop by and see us here today as we have a lot to talk about, Heather. A lot of football to talk about.
Yes, a lot of football to talk about, but we want to get you registered for the Michelob Ultra Golf Cart Giveaway, so make sure you come by. We're at the Bread Box, 6210 Asheville Highway. You can save in the store and save at the pump with GPM Fast Rewards, and you can scope out. I mean, we have the golf cart in the store. How cool is this? Come by and check it out.
Coming up, takeaways from Tennessee, Josh Heupel and his players there yesterday. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it with Braden Gall at 12:30 when he joins the show. We're going to read off Bad Take Andy's bank statements. We'll get to all of that right here on Sports 180. Asheville Highway at the Bread Box, thanks to Michelob Ultra on 99.1, the sports animal. Welcome back into Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. We'll talk to Braden Gall from 440 Sports coming up in 10 minutes as we continue at the Bread Box, thanks to Michelob Ultra. You can stop in and take advantage of savings they have in the store. You can take advantage of the opportunity to sign up to win the Michelob Ultra golf cart, which is right here with us. Take advantage with GPM Fast Rewards. You can earn 10 cents off each gallon of gas on your first fill-up, up to 20 gallons, and earn cash back on every purchase. And if you're looking for career opportunities, how about GPMinvestments.com? We'd love to see you out here today on Asheville Highway until 3 o'clock. Sports 180 will be here with the Michelob Ultra golf cart. Tennessee was there yesterday, Heather. Josh Heupel, along with wide receiver Velus Jones Jr. and cornerback Alante Taylor. What did you think?
Well, one, I thought they did a nice job of representing Tennessee. I think we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I thought everybody, especially like Alante Taylor, who has been an ambassador for Tennessee for so long, being what a fourth-year senior and playing early on in his freshman year. So I think when you look at just the optics, hey, everybody went in, they said all the right things. We had a couple of quotes, you know, the one from Velus Jones Jr., I can't wait to go to war with this guy, talking about Josh Heupel. I really appreciated some of the things they said. And then Josh Heupel did a nice job of establishing, hey, this is who I am. He's a pretty laid back guy. I think he's a very serious guy, but still has, some personality to him and said the right things. You know, he made the pitch. Hopefully high school coaches and players in the state of Tennessee were listening, like, hey, this is a fun place to play. You know, we're going to take care of you name, image, and likeness wise. I mean, he made the recruiting pitch publicly, so I appreciated that. Now maybe we can get some traction on that trail, but I think as far as like winning media days or just doing a good job, they did a really nice job yesterday. I was not embarrassed by any stretch of the imagination. I felt really good about the people that they sent, and I think it was like a two thumbs up day if you were a Tennessee fan.
Yeah, I agree. I think they did a fine job. And
what does it mean?
It means nothing. It just doesn't. As we look back at 2013 when Butch Jones arrived and took over Tennessee's program, we came out of that day saying Butch Jones did a really nice job and people were impressed with what he did as Tennessee's head coach. In 2018, Jeremy Pruitt, who did not have the experience of being in that kind of environment as a head coach. He had to face some pressure because of comments Aaron Murray had made leading up to Jeremy Pruitt's arrival, saying, yeah, I don't know that this guy can handle the job. And Jeremy Pruitt, when he was at Media Days, it was in Atlanta that year, did a really good job of handling that. What did that end up meaning? Nothing. In fact, Aaron Murray was correct in what he had to say about Jeremy Pruitt. And that's not to mean that Josh Heupel's not going to succeed. It doesn't matter. Shane Beamer did a really good job on Monday. I don't think too many people in Knoxville are more concerned now about what's going to happen at South Carolina. He might succeed, but it's not because he did a good job at SEC Media Day. So I don't mean this is a negative or positive. It is a positive overall that they represented Tennessee well. It's just in terms of football, it doesn't mean anything.
Yes, what will mean something is getting better talent, coaching the talent that you have currently and getting more production out of those players, managing your roster in a way that's going to be conducive to maybe whatever sanctions you're going to incur, but trying to, I mean, you know, one of the things that they could be facing, especially with the transfer market, is like when you look at the offensive and defensive lines over the next couple of years and maybe by year three, so some of the guys that he's recruiting now could be playing roles on the interior offensive and defensive line. Like, you got to be good. Like, they got to start. They got to go out and you know, get a little bit beefier and more athletic in those positions, because you're going into a year where year three, the expectations do just naturally rise as you've had time to recruit. And so, like, what are the two most important positions going to look like? So, you know, that's what's going to matter in the grand scheme of things. But also, I think one thing you could take away from Media Days is just your ability to handle the fire. You know, for a while, I mean, for years, Butch Jones was really good at handling the pressure that came along with the Tennessee job, and then all of a sudden, he wasn't.
Well, I think part of that is because early on, there's not much pressure.
I agree.
I mean, there's a lot of attention, but I don't think there's much pressure. Mm-hmm. The pressure comes later when the expectations rise. Expectations are low. You don't deal with much pressure. So time will tell how someone does with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, depending on the spot, we're talking about Tennessee specifically. When Ryan Day took over for Urban Meyer, more pressure immediately because of where the program was when he took over. Where Josh Heupel is right now, you know, a lot of the issues that Tennessee is dealing with that he's having to overcome, the blame is being placed elsewhere.
Yes.
Over time, there will be less of that and more expected of Josh Heupel to get the job done. And then let's see how he does. But yesterday he was talking about how successful championship teams have been on offense. He knows what needs to be done. The next question will be, can he do it? Can he get Tennessee's quarterback position and the offense overall fixed? And that's kind of a right away question. And then as time moves on with more players coming in through his recruiting, you're hoping that they can get up to the highest level. We'll talk about that with Braden Gall when we come back from 440 Sports, as we have another 2.5 hours to go this afternoon on Asheville Highway at the Bread Box. Thanks to Michelob Ultra. Stop by and register to win the Mick Ultra golf cart, which is right here with us. It's free to sign up to win. Let's hit a midday sports minute right now on 99.1 The Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us as we continue here on Asheville Highway, 6210 Asheville Highway in Factory. You can find us at the Bread Box inside with the Michelob Ultra Golf Cart. It is free to register to give yourself a chance to win. Stop by and do so today. We'll be here until 3 o'clock. We are pleased to go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, and welcome to the show, Braden Gall, part of 440 Sports, running 440 Sports there in Nashville. Braden, we appreciate the time as always. Are you enjoying everything you're seeing and hearing from SEC Media Days this week?
Oh, sure. Sure. It's an absolute pleasure to hear as many cliches as humanly possible distributed in a four-day period of time. Now, Greg Sankey had a lot of poignant and important things to say, and the players are, you know, I've probably been on this soapbox for about a decade now. The players are just a pleasure to listen to and to get to know. So, you know, some of the new coaches, I think, and we'll get into this with Coach Heupel, it was refreshing to hear an adult professional head coach step to the podium and represent the University of Tennessee. So that was a change, and that felt really nice. But otherwise, it's a whole lot of cliches.
Hey, Braden, let me ask you this big picture before we narrow it down to the Tennessee scope. But based on Greg Sankey's comments, the article from Ross Dellinger that came out last week about how peeved a lot of these commissioners are. What do you think about their relationship with the NCAA? Are you thinking that these Power Five commissioners are truly wanting to break away, or this is more we are imploring you to have true reform and be the governing body that you're supposed to be?
I think it's probably option number two there. I think they love having the NCAA. And again, think Roger Goodell taking all the PR hits for the owners in the NFL, right? The reason Roger Goodell makes all that money is not because running the NFL is hard to do. You know, it's like recruiting to Kentucky in basketball. It's not hard to run the NFL. The reason Roger Goodell gets paid all that money is so that the owners don't have to take any heat. Well, that's the NCAA's role, because the NCAA is just a collection of universities, and, you know, who gets blamed for all of the bad stuff that happens, the PR, the bad publicity, everything that happens in college athletics, it all gets heaped on the NCAA. So I don't think they ever want to truly break away. There's also elements of, like, how would you run a basketball tournament if you didn't have the Power Five teams? What about all the Olympic sports, you know, College World Series? There's a ton of reasons. But I do think they are trending towards, you know, having their own rule book. And Greg Sankey, I believe, said it at the end of his, you know, he's like, never before has this 450-page book been more irrelevant. And so I think his comments are very clear that the NCAA is no longer capable of governing the Power Five college football teams, and that the rules for, you know, Vermont should not be the same rules for the University of Tennessee. Like, they're just different businesses. And I think there's a tipping point that's coming. I don't know what it looks like sort of like structurally, because, again, I don't think they're ever going to break away from the NCAA, but I do think they're going to continue to push for more autonomy and more control over their own rules and legislation. You heard him talk about reducing sanctions and punishments to sort of expedite the NCAA oversight process. So I think we're definitely trending towards, you know, different rules for the Power Five. But that's sort of the path we've been on for a very, very long time. I just don't think it ever leads to an actual official breakaway. You know, they could call it a division. They could call it something else. I don't think they'll ever be a commissioner of the Power Five or whatever. It's pretty clear what they think of the job the NCAA, the job that NCAA is doing right now, or lack thereof.
We're talking to Braden Gall, 440 Sports. Josh Heupel was there yesterday, of course, at SEC Football Media Days. What do you think we will see in year one from Tennessee's offense with Josh Heupel taking over?
Well, as long as the quarterback can make the right decisions and is accurate, I think we can see Josh Heupel's offense. But those are two really big questions that we're not sure he's got on the roster. I mean, Christian Bailey, frankly, might be the guy who has the best command of the offense and is the most accurate passer. So if he's got a guy that is because, again, if you read out, shamelessly promote Alphon Sports, but one of the anonymous scouting reports about Tennessee's offense is that it sort of gets unfairly knocked for being simple. It is very simple, but what makes it dangerous is how fast it goes. And so you need someone who can be accurate and decisive. And if he's got that on his roster, which, again, maybe the smart money's on Harrison Bailey being that commodity. If that's the case, then I think the offense can score points. They can look a little bit like Ole Miss. They're going to be in a lot of the games they need to be in that are sort of quote-unquote swing games, which, again, is Ole Miss and, you know, Pittsburgh, you know, those kinds of games. You know, if they're going to be Ole Miss, you need Matt Corral. That's the difference here, right? If you do not have the quarterback on the roster, well, Ole Miss doesn't look like Ole Miss without Matt Corral pulling the trigger. And so I think that's the big question for me about the offense.
Are we not talking enough about the offensive line?
I'm
serious. It kind of scares me.
Well, I think it's fair. I mean, there's a lot of really, really talented pieces that are gone, right? Like a lot of star rankings left that offensive line. And so I think it's fair. Now, there's also a couple of really nice pieces too. I think it's a concern if this offense was sort of a true power running team, you know, like an old Mike Bobo or old Jim Chaney team that wanted to sort of run an old spy formation, you know, power football team, I'd be far more concerned. I mean, the concept with this offense is to, like, you have half a second to get the football out of your hand. Like that you're going as fast as humanly possible, which is concerning for your defense, of course, especially this particular defense. So you're probably right. We're not talking enough about the offensive line. I don't know, you know, in a game against Ole Miss where the defense is atrocious and you're going to have to score like crazy, you know, both teams, I don't know how much it factors. I think in a game against Pittsburgh, I think it matters because if there's no time to throw and you can't execute and that nice underrated Pittsburgh defense is sort of totally stuffing the run and pressuring the quarterback, I could absolutely see a 23-17 type of game. And there's a few different teams that are like that. Kentucky's built like that. South Carolina's going to have a nice defensive line this year. And I'm not talking about the big teams. I'm just talking about the swing game. So I think you're right. Hopefully it develops before some of those games. But I think offensive line is always one of the most important parts of the team. There's no question.
Braden Gall, 440 Sports, with SEC Media Days or College Football Talk this week because Dabo Swinney's playoff comments are getting some attention. Does anything else stand out to you as a main important talking point this week?
I mean, it's pretty obvious every commissioner like got on the call and said, we've got to get our teams vaccinated, right? Like that's pretty obvious. We need to convince people, and I'm not talking about like anti-vax people that think there's microchips being inserted in people's bodies. I'm talking about like people that are legitimately hesitant to get a vaccine for a lot of legitimate reasons, and there's plenty of those types of people. I think, you know, young people just don't think that they're as susceptible to things, and that's fine. I think it's very clear that the rule is the rule. And if you are not, and I think Sankey called it healthy, if you are not healthy, you are going to get stuck in a situation like NC State. They are not going to postpone games. There's no baked-in extra time in all these schedules. You are going to lose games. And to me, every commissioner, the reason they're all on the same page with this is because they want to make sure that it's clear when some fan base in some conference, heaven forbid it be the SEC, where it does just mean more, you all of a sudden you have to forfeit a game in the middle of October because you have unvaccinated players who have tested positive and you cannot play the football game. It's being forfeited. Sorry, folks, you're out of luck because we told you the rules back in July. And so I think that's the message: is let's get every team vaccinated. That way, we don't have to have any forfeitures. And I think that's a pretty clear. Not only is it a smart medical decision for everybody and it stops the spread of a deadly disease, but outside of that, why would you want your team to risk forfeiting a game? It is a competitive advantage to have 100% of your team vaccinated. Vanderbilt's requiring it for every student on campus. Like, it doesn't make any sense for these teams not to be vaccinated. They have the resources. They're widely available. The efficacy has been proven. Like, there's no reason not to. And so if your team doesn't and they have to go all NC State, there's a whole lot of, like, look, we warned you about this in July. I think that's what their big point is.
Braden Gall, as you mentioned, Athlon Sports Preview Magazine is out to get you ready for the college football season. What should people know about that, as well as what's going on at 440 Sports?
Well, I have a really interesting guest coming on Friday, Josh. I know you're really excited about Lamestream Sports Media and Business Podcast coming out on Friday.
Did you bump me?
As Josh Ward, Josh Ward is making an appearance.
That's
Josh
right.
Ward is
I love
our guest
this
week. on Lane Street, so check that out. Of course, the Predators podcast will not come out until tonight. We have to wait for the expansion draft for that. But Ryan Ellis with a huge trade, as David Poyle is blowing up the roster, so we've got a lot of Pred stuff there. The Gold Standard podcast. Dari Noka joined me on the SEC podcast. We're going to have some fun and tell some stories, talking SEC media days from all the absolute randomness that I've witnessed and been a part of over the years of going to the event. So hopefully our Fringe Element podcast, the Talk to SEC Football, hopefully covers media days in a different way than anywhere else, as we talk about, you know, Tim Tebow being a virgin and all these kinds of really ridiculous things that take place at media days, because otherwise you don't really get to – there's not a whole lot that goes on. So make sure you check all that out. The 440 every single morning's out every single morning, so I'm running out of shows to promote here. So there you go. Check it all out, 440sports.com or on the Twitters at 440sports.
That's right. Something for everybody, 440 Sports. Go check it out. And the Lamestream podcast on Friday, help me out. Go download and subscribe that to help me look a little bit better. Hey, Braden, we appreciate the time. As always, busy time in Nashville, we know, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Braden. Braden Gall joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
Man, I can't wait. Can you give us a teaser of one of the big topics or maybe points of view that y'all talked about on Friday's pod that's upcoming?
Yeah, so we talked about SEC football media days, and I told a story of younger, less mature producer Josh Ward with a media day storyline.
Okay.
Related to Tennessee.
All right. I'm very excited about this. I'm assuming Philip Fulmer was the coach, right?
He was.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. You talk about a flashback.
Involved a talking to that had to be had from Jimmy Himes to Josh Ward, which was at the time, I would say, warranted. So, yeah, there's my tease for Friday.
Yes. Okay. So a warranted talk from Jimmy Himes, whom you very much respect.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then now you fast forward. Any regrets?
I'm still here, so. But, yeah, listen to that story on Friday, and I will say on there, as I say right here, Jimmy was correct in what he said. We'll come back here on Sports 180. We're having a good time this afternoon. This afternoon here on Asheville Highway, we're at the Bread Box. We'll be here until 3. Very easy to find. 6210 Asheville Highway is where this Bread Box is, right off the interstate. We'll be here with the Michelob Ultra golf cart giveaway registration until 3 o'clock. Stop by. We'll tell you about some of the savings right here. We'll answer 5 tough questions with the face-off from Joel Silverberg next here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Thanks for being with us here on Sports 180. We're going to hit the face-off in just a moment. Heather, we were having a great time today on Asheville Highway at the Bread Box. We are out here with the Michelob Ultra golf cart and free registration to win it.
Yes, it's the golf cart giveaway. Thanks to Michelob Ultra, all of our friends at Eagle Distributing. And you should check out, they've got a ton of ice down ultras in the coolers here, whether you're looking for the traditional beers or the awesome seltzers that we love. That spicy pineapple, you just really can't beat it. And great deals on beer going on at all Bread Box locations. There's 12 area Bread Box locations, and they're doing all their rebates through a QR code that you scan. So how cool is that? You can get a $13 rebate via QR code when you fuel up at the pump here at the Bread Box and get one Michelob Ultra Family 12-pack. So you can get the seltzers or the cans, the bottles, what have you. So get a 12-pack and a full tank of gas, and you're going to get a $13 rebate via that QR code. Get a $3 rebate on the QR code when you buy 3 Budweiser or Bud Light 25-ounce cans. And with GPM Fast Rewards, you can stack up these rewards really quickly and start saving at the pump. You can earn 10 cents off each gallon of gas on your very first fill-up, up to 20 gallons, and earn cash back on every single purchase in the store. And we even have some Michelob Ultra swag to give away.
Yeah, so we have the koozies. You can live ultra with these when you take them. They're free to take after you sign up for free to win the golf cart.
I was about to say, you're really going to be living ultra when you win this bad boy coming up in August when we give it away. It's super exciting. This is a beautiful golf cart. We love coming out and having it in the store with us. Look, it's even got a horn button on it. I've never seen a golf cart with a horn, so how about that?
That's right. You're going to be living in style with this bad boy when you're driving it around.
Yeah, it's got the rims on it. I mean, this is Farragut approved. This is two thumbs up. You can get this bad boy into Gettysview, into Farragut. You're going to be living right.
Talk about a standard. Stop by and see us here today on Asheville Highway with the Michelob Ultra golf cart right here. Don't mind Bad Take Andy, and don't hit that button when you come on by. Let's hit today's face-off. All righty, Joel, what do you have for us today?
Will Alabama finish the regular season undefeated?
I don't think so, Heather. And I know that Alabama goes in as a clear pick to win the West, or at least it's probably going to be that way. There'll be some attention on what can LSU do this year trying to bounce back. Can Texas A&M overtake Alabama? Maybe the answer is yes. Maybe that's the loss. It is on the road for Alabama. I'm just, overall, 12 games, I'm playing the percentages and saying it's an 11-1 season for Bama.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think they have at least one misstep. You've got Texas A&M that's on the road. You're ending the season at Auburn.
Florida's on the road.
Yeah, Florida's on the road. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be a tougher schedule, and you're breaking in a new quarterback. At some point in time, you would think that something's got to give, especially with all the talent they lost last year. Maybe this is the year they don't go undefeated.
The NFL kicks off in 50 days. Which under the radar team deserves more attention than that?
Anybody in the NFC North not named Green Bay? like all those teams have been flying under the radar. So could this be the year Minnesota with Kirk Cousins jumps up? You know, what's going on with Chicago? How soon does Justin Fields start, and can they get some magic going? I'm gonna circle the Chicago Bears because I've been kind of hot on them for a couple of years. Maybe they finally have it worked out at quarterback, and the division's up for grabs if Aaron Rodgers truly is holding out with Green Bay.
Do you mean to say Andy Dalton with the Bears? I'm going to go with the team I think you mentioned first, or at least you mentioned the division first. I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings. They got off to a bad start last year, but I thought we're starting to figure some things out, and I think we'll have a chance to bounce back. So there's room for movement in that division. I'll go Vikings. Bears aren't a bad choice, though.
Did the NBA become Giannis's league last night?
For right now, but we'll come back next year and we'll start talking about a lot of the players who are coming back from injury, and we'll see what moves are made in the offseason. People will probably want to write off LeBron and Anthony Davis. I would not do that quite yet. Kawhi's injury is really unfortunate, but Giannis is going to get all kinds of attention and recognition, and that he very much deserves.
Yeah, you know what? Giannis has firmly established himself in the conversation of, man, this guy is a superstar. He established the fact that he is a superstar. Is he superstar number one in the NBA? I'm going to say probably not at this point in time because of some of the names that you just had. Kawhi, AD, KD, don't forget about Steph. Maybe the Warriors finally get back into playoff talk.
Nets are the favorites, by the way, for next year.
Yeah. So I just think there's too many stars for Giannis to be the number one. But, man, he is a superstar, and I absolutely love him.
Today is National Hot Dog Day. What's the proper way to eat a hot dog?
Keep it simple, stupid. You know, like, just keep it simple. I like a little mustard. I like a little ketchup. If you want to sprinkle on some onions, maybe a little sprinkling of cheese, go for it. But just keep it simple. We don't need, like, 10 pounds of chili and nacho cheese and all that. Like, just mustard and ketchup. That's how I eat mine.
So what you do is you take the hot dog bun. Then you take the hot dog, you put it in the bun, and then you eat it.
That is definitely keeping it simple.
Keeping it simple is spot on, and that I just did.
No ketchup?
No.
That's next level, Andy.
2 days from opening ceremonies, what's your interest level in the Olympics?
Heather, I would say it's pretty high right now, and it's going to grow here. So the NBA Finals are behind us. We'll get through media days this week with a lot of the conversation, and then we'll get to the weekend, and I will be really excited about what's going on. I'll be into track and field, what happens there, basketball. Now I'm even more interested in soccer with the U.S. Women's National Team losing last night, so they really need to bounce back Saturday. So it's about to be really high.
Yeah, I think it's going to go to another level here over the next couple of days. The one big thing that I've noticed from just social media, 25 years since Muhammad Ali lit the torch in Atlanta. That just blew my mind because I feel like I'm not that old, but I am. But I'll say on a level right now, it's at a 7, and it'll just continue to grow.
All right, Josh gets the win.
I thought the hot dog take would cost me today, but that's okay.
Certainly didn't help you.
Okay.
Just a hot dog. I mean, how come you didn't do better in the hot dog eating contest? That's how they were serving them.
No, I took a very simple approach. I wanted very early to figure out, am I going to have a great chance to win this thing? The answer pretty quickly was no. So then I wanted to finish last.
Yeah, you still had a show to do that day.
You want to finish first or you want to finish last in that kind of competition? I wasn't going to finish first, so nothing else mattered besides finishing last. So I think I knocked out like 1 3/4 hot dogs.
1 3/4. I could eat more than that in like an inning of a baseball game.
Yeah. Now, this wasn't like, 5-10 minutes. But anyway, so that's fine. I'll take the win in the face-off. The face-off every single day is presented by Marble City Family Chiropractic.
Yeah, if you've got aches and pains that are just kind of limiting what you want to do every single day, you want to start feeling better, call Drs. Jason and Alicia Bloom at Marble City Chiropractic, 766-2081. You can set up a one-on-one consultation, and through chiropractic care, start living the life you were designed to live, thanks to Marble City Chiropractic.
We have a lot to cover. We'll get back to Tennessee football talk here in the next hour. You will hear from Alante Taylor in a little more than 15 minutes as we continue with 2 hours remaining with the Michelob Ultra golf cart here with us. Stop by at 6210 Asheville Highway inside the Bread Box to sign up to win as we continue on Sports 180 on the Sports Animal.